Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel We once again welcome you in our program called Dua In this beautiful program we talk about Dua itself Alhamdulillah Today we will be talking about some rulings regarding making Dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala But before we proceed ahead, let me explain you the format of our program. In this program, we select a topic, we discuss about that according to the teachings of Quran and Hadith. Further, we select a personality, we talk about its biography, that personality. And furthermore, we've got one message. Alhamdulillah, we also learn one dua. Various segments, beautiful information, Alhamdulillah, we share every week on Wednesday. So be with us from start to end. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Al-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any good deed or do any permissible task. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, inshallah, I'll present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you're watching, you can make this intention. You will watch from start to end. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others too. Remember, the more intentions you can make, the higher the reward you can attain. You can multiply your reward easily. For a particular task, you can add as many good intentions as possible. And that's what we should do. Alhamdulillah, today, we've got our brother Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Wasim Abbas, with us, and also joins our Brother Saeed Attari also, inshallah, he will recite Naat in his beautiful voice. Respected viewers, before we start our topic, let's listen a beautiful Naat in a beautiful voice of Saeed Nai. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasool وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا
پائے مرادیں
کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں آجا سما جا نام محمد آجا سما جا نام محمد بولو آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد.
We are talking about dua, some rulings regarding dua. Let's include this segment in our program. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ادعوني استجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, today inshallah we'll be talking about a beautiful topic regarding dua, a subtopic in dua, and that is that shall we request others, shall we ask from others for any question or if we are in need. Definitely there are certain do's and don'ts in that, but we will inshallah try to discuss in specific with regards to under dua what ulama they have guided us. Ji Wasim Abbas bhai, asking from ghair khuda, other than Allah, right, from the creation, and asking from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what ulama they have written in this regard?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This very subtopic is when we delve deeper into it. This is also a guiding principle for us, if you look at it, that how we should spend our life. Of course, there is the religious element over here, but also it contains a social element as well over here, as our dignity, our honor is also dependent upon this very factor. So alhamdulillah, Islam guides us from various perspectives. And this very perspective regarding dua that we will be covering today, where how is it to ask others, question others for our needs? What does Islam guide us? How have we been guided in this regard? And how does it affect us spiritually as well as socially? Inshallah, we will try to capture this in today's episode. This very issue is one that is very unfortunately common as well nowadays, where we see people questioning each other, asking each other as if it doesn't mean anything, as if there's no harm in this. Now, when we look in a hadith and in the Quran, we see that this is a condemnable act, something which has been condemned. And in one hadith, questioning others, it has been referred to as an obscenity. And this very thing is haram in Islam. And to the extent Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam even instructed his elite companions, the likes of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the likes of Sayyidina Abu Dharr, the likes of Sayyidina Saban radiallahu anhum, to not question anyone. In fact, the Holy Prophet ﷺ took bayah, pledge from them upon this, that they will not question anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how adherent they were upon this very allegiance of the Prophet ﷺ, that even if they were traveling on a horse and if their whip would fall down, it would drop, they wouldn't ask anyone. They would stop, dismount their horse, pick it up themselves, and then mount the horse again. This is how strict they were in following this very command of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So it does get established through a hadith that this is something very, very important for us, where we need to understand that we don't question other people besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, if you think about it, this is also a test for us regarding reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding our contentment, upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us, has given to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also praised this very attribute. Allah Almighty praised those who followed, who possessed this attribute, the Ashab al-Sufa, subhanAllah. Those companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 273 of Surah Baqarah, Allah Almighty says, La yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa, meaning they do not beg obtrusively from the people. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them in the Holy Quran. The Quran, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this very book of his, Allah Almighty, he praises Ashab al-Sufa with this very trait of this, that they don't ask for this. And when we look at the biography of Ashab al-Sufa, we know that from worldly perspective, they were very, very poor. They were very destitute. And the circumstances which they faced, they were very, very severe, but yet they did not question anyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them. And this also highlights the fact that how reliant they were upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much they believed in the will of Allah Almighty, and they were content upon the fact that whatever state Allah Almighty keeps us in, we are pleased over it. They wouldn't question anyone. And what was the reward of this? That they were praised in the Holy Quran by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do find this in a hadith and in the Quran that this has been instructed, and not only that, it has also been praised. And this also enhances the level of iman, the level of faith of an individual when he doesn't question anyone else but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As was the case in one of our previous episodes where we talked about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, even in the most severest of the times, he didn't ask anyone else. Even Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he was present over there and he could have asked him for help as well. But yet he only remained content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and didn't question anyone else, and only prioritized this very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what my state is and I will only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this very attribute is the attribute of those who are elite individuals, who are elevated individuals in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we abandon this very trait, there are very detrimental harms as well for this, which inshallah we'll cover shortly.
SubhanAllah, in the teachings of Islam, one should rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should have tawakkul. So there are different stages. So this is one of the elite class stage, those they are very close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have got this beautiful attribute, this beautiful quality. They rely, they do tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not ask anything from anyone else but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. This is also one of the beautiful traits. Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he says a beautiful quotation which has been mentioned in Fazail al-Du'a, subhanAllah, that the one who does not say bad to anyone, the one who does not go to anyone else's door and does not ask from anyone else, then he will be honored in this world and hereafter. Mm-hmm. This is one of the basic purpose also. A person who has a self-respect. And there are other dimensions also why we have been prohibited to ask from others, right? One of the reasons is there is a self-respect element. If a person keeps on asking questions from others, right, for a smallest of the needs, okay, he keeps on asking, please do this favor to me, please do this favor to me. So then he will lose his own self-honor and self-respect. This is the desire of Islam. Islam doesn't want you to be ridiculed, or maybe you will have less value or devalued in the eyes of other person. So this trait of asking everything from others who are around you, not having tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely at one stage may dishonor that person or may degrade or devalue personality of that person who keeps on asking from others. So this is one of the reasons why Islam discourages to ask from others. And subhanAllah, as you mentioned, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took allegiance from Sahaba ikram and from few Sahaba, which has been mentioned in hadith, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Thoban radiallahu ta'ala, that they would not even ask a very small favor from others and from anyone, because they had done bay'ah upon this. So respecting Yusuf Malik, again, this is a beautiful trait. And this is one of the beautiful traits of my Shaykh Tariqat also, Amir of Ahlul Sunnah. He avoids asking questions from others. That even for his small needs,
he tries to avoid, and if without asking question, or maybe he would phrase a sentence in a way that other person can understand, but yet it's not asking a favor from other person. So this is how, subhanallah, this is done. For example, that's an example comes in my mind. If he is thirsty, right, and he needs a glass of water, by Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Mawlana Ilyas Tariq Qadil Dawud Barakatuhu Al-Ali, one of his practices is that he would not ask directly a question or a favor from a person next sitting next to him or around him. Can you please fetch me a glass of water, or please pass me a glass of water, or bring me a glass of water? He wouldn't say this sentence or sentences. Rather, he would say, I am thirsty. So other person, he understands that his need is a thirst, so he goes, brings a glass of water, and presents in the court of Amir of Al-Sunnah. Because he has got this understanding that why should we ask questions or favors from others when we can do by ourselves, or there are other ways to do. So alhamdulillah, this is beautiful practice of awliya Allah. And furthermore, what guidance Islam provides us in this regard?
Islam is a religion of honor, subhanAllah. And those who practice Islam thoroughly and duly and properly the way it is meant to, alhamdulillah, that very individual becomes honored as well. And by abandoning the concept of refraining from questioning others, one tarnishes one's own reputation, also gets tarnished. Ulama, they've mentioned beautifully that abandoning to ask others is superior in every form, in every way. There's no exception in this. In every way, it is superior, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer of everyone. Allah Almighty provides rizq to everyone. And those people who keep questioning others, at the same time, they perhaps also need to reflect upon the level of their faith, whether they don't have enough tawakkul or reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that the case? Because if you have a full tawakkul and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why would you ask others, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already promised you? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, is the sustainer of everything. As again in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us that, and there's no moving creature on earth except that its sustenance is upon Allah's bestowal. There's no moving creature on the earth, and we are also amongst them. Alhamdulillah, sustenance for us is also upon the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know regarding all these narrations, all these facts are before us, then why question anyone? Why harm our own self-reputation? Why be amongst those who will be
asking favors from others?
So again, by doing so, at the end of the day, sustenance has been decreed for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written how much of us we have.
There are two extremes. Maybe people can be mistaken here. That on one side, you're saying that we shouldn't ask favors from others, and we shouldn't seek help from others, right? Or request or ask questions from others or favors. But on the other hand, we need these things when we live around day to day life routine. Social system works like this. We family needs, so I could ask others of favors of things. So one should not get mixed up. What we are talking about in totality, there's no harm in seeking help or favor or from others. This is how this whole system works. And again, when you're having tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not mean that you will leave asbab. You'll have to seek resources. You'll have to find out those sources. Like Rasulullah alayhi wasallam was asked once that about tawakkul, that if I've got my camel, shall I tie it up first, or shall I leave it without it and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he was ordered, now you should seek asbab, tie it first, and then have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not negate seeking asbab or means. In other words, so we have to seek asbab, we have to seek means, whatever they are possible, but we should not rely upon asbab, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very, very fine line in between to understand this whole concept. So if we keep on relying upon asbab, upon the means, that is wrong. If we are seeking means, if we are doing all what is being ordered to us, but we are relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am taking this tablet. This tablet will not help me, but this is a means. But shifa is min janib Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide me shifa. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm going to do work or seek this ki halal, okay, find this ki halal. But this is my effort, what I'm making. that I'm not relying upon this job, right? This is a means to earn rizq halal. But actually, the provider of rizq halal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. If our understanding and mindset and exactly having reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the true meaning of tawakkul at the same time. But subhanAllah, what we are talking about is the preference. Those people, they are very close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they have got different state of, kafiyat, and you can say, and subhanAllah, that's how we have been guided. And the more you learn, the more alhamdulillah, you practice, and the more you have more reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you get closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, it does not negate in totality, mutlaqan, that no, you cannot seek help from anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you should stop seeking the sources or means and all that. It does not mean that. There should be some sort of understanding, the proper understanding.
It's all about understanding this very concept, that when we are being commanded from not asking anyone, what exactly does it mean? And then obviously comes the second element, which you drew our attention towards, where our daily base has come, and where we seek each other's help and help each other, so and so forth. So it is important for us to obviously clarify this very concept in order to attain blessings of these narrations and to start following them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one narration, Surah Musa alayhi salam is commanded that ask from me even grass for your animal and salt for your food.
Subhanallah.
So these narrations, they show us the importance of not asking others. And we need to draw a fine line and understand that where do we stop asking others. Obviously, there are certain things which we have to, but then there are certain things, if we analyze our own state, analyze our own daily life, then we will realize that so many things we do, or we ask others, we question others, which we perhaps can do ourselves.
Yes.
Or many people, we would see that they keep asking for loans. There are certain people who are in dire need of loans, but then there are certain people who can
survive
without that. And they can even earn that money, but they're used to asking other people, they're used to asking help from other people, they're used to asking
for... This is why Islam discourages.
So this is where we've been discouraged, and this is what we need to refrain from it. And as ulama, they mentioned it beautifully, that whoever questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attains honor. And whoever asks adab, this is a means of disgrace. So again, it is about that self-reputation, that asking people will bring disgrace to you, and asking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you more honorable, will make you more closer in the court of Allah Almighty.
MashaAllah. Respecting Yusuf Madani Chairman, so in a nutshell, the crux of our discussion is that whatever possible, always try to seek help and ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For your needs, whatever you are in need, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who provides. And inshallah, we will carry on this beautiful topic furthermore. And now, let's include one segment, and that is Masnoon Dua. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, today inshallah we will learn a dua from Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh, our Rabb, we have embraced faith, so forgive our sins and save us from the torment of hell fire. This is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, part 3. Beautiful dua from Quran. Quran guides us, alhamdulillah. Each and every aspect of our life, we've got guidance from Quran. We have been taught how to ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what to ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is the proper way to ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is preferred to ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These beautiful du'as mentioned in Quran and Hadith, and this program we have brought for you is so that we can highlight those du'as which prophets they asked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which prophet of Allah, your and my master, Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, mentioned in Hadith, taught us, so we can learn. And we can also seek dua those beautiful words through which they mentioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their needs we can also request same way. So alhamdulillah, this is beautiful dua, as we have learned the translation also, that oh our Rabb, we have embraced faith, and then so forgive our sins. We should always ask forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and save us from the torment of hellfire, adab of nar. We should also seek refuge. With respect to these other beautiful du'as, we should learn. Nasim Abbas, we were talking about the du'a and some rulings with regards to du'a and asking from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding asking favors from those other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain points which ulama have mentioned that are for our guidance. The very first was like that this causes distaste for a person who keeps on asking favors from others. So could you please elaborate a few more, one or two, and then we move on to our topic.
So the ulama, they've mentioned the certain harms in asking from others. The first one they mentioned, that when a person asks from someone, then he becomes disgraced in the sight of creation. Now this very person who's asking from others, who's questioning, who's begging, he has to be humble in front of everyone. He has to observe humility in front of everyone. If I come to you, ask you for something, I won't ask you in a harsh manner, would I? I would be very humble, etc. So the person who questions, he has to be very humble in front of the creation. And ulama, they say that it is not befitting for people that he humbles his nafs before people and not Allah, before creation and not the creator. So this is one of the harms which ulama mentioned that people have to face. The second one, now this is again very, very important for us to understand this very harm which ulama mentioned, that when a person expresses his destitution in front of other person, his poverty in front of other person, then it is as if he's complaining about Allah Almighty. I come to you, complain about my destitution, about my financial crisis. It is as if I'm complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He is the provider.
He is the provider. It is as if a slave, he has forgotten all the favors of his master.
Allah.
And he's not content upon the grant, on the atah, on the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he begs in front of others, questions others, asks for his needs from others, it is as if he's saying that my Lord Almighty, ma'azallah, summa ma'azallah, keeps me hungry, keeps me unclothed, and he does not suffice for my needs. In other words, this is what he's saying. So it is very, very important for us to understand this very concept as well, that when we ask others, it is as if we, ma'azallah, are complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama, they mentioned a beautiful account over here for our understanding. They mentioned that there was a worshipper who used to live on the top of a mountain, and every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant him 3 pomegranates. It was a pomegranate tree, and he would get 3 pomegranates every day, and he would eat them and he would worship Allah Almighty. One day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him, so there was no pomegranate for him. So one day passed by, he remained patient. Second day, no pomegranate. He remained patient. Third day, no pomegranate. He again remained patient. Now, when he had enough of patience, now he comes down the mountain. He comes down, and there was a house of a disbeliever. So he goes to his house and begs him, asks him for food. So he gives him 4 pieces of bread, 4 chapatis, whatever you're going to call it. And now, as he takes it, the dog of the disbeliever starts coming behind him. And he gives him the first bread, he eats it, and the dog keeps coming behind him. Second one, he gives him again, the dog keeps coming again still. Third one, he gives, same thing, dog still chasing him, coming him, and he gives the fourth one as well. Now, this very person, the worshipper, he says to the dog, that how, woe to you, how embarrassing it is for you that I've come and I've begged your master to give me something, gave me something, and you've snatched it away from me. And the dog, he replied to him that woe to you, it is more embarrassing on your side that the Lord Almighty, the master who fed you for years without any effort, without any hardship,
Allah,
just for 3 days he kept you hungry, just for 3 days he kept you hungry, and you couldn't take this, you became so worried that you came down and begged his enemy, meaning a disbeliever who doesn't believe in Allah. You are a devout worshipper. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fed you a nice food without any efforts, without any hardship, and just for 3 days you've been tested, and you came down and you begged the enemy of the same Lord Almighty, the one who doesn't believe in him. So how, you know, beautifully ulama, they've explained this concept for us, that when we beg others, it is as if ma'azallah we are complaining others regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third one that ulama they mentioned is that when we question other people, then unnecessarily we cause harm to the other person.
Yeah.
Why? Because if the other person rejects your question, then he'll be embarrassed in front of other people.
Yeah.
If I ask you something, you don't give it to me, then in front of other people, you'll be embarrassed. Yeah. As in, you couldn't give it to me. And then if you give it to me because of the concern, the worry of other people, then this will not be beneficial for you in the hereafter.
Allah.
So, and this would be because of showing off. So by me questioning you, by me begging you, I'll be putting you in a difficult situation. If you don't give, you'll be embarrassed in front of people. And if you do give because of thinking about people, then this will be ostentation, showing off. So this is third harm that ulama mentioned, that even the one who's being begged, who's being questioned by the other person, even this very person is putting him into a difficult situation as well.
Beautiful discussion, respectful use of Madhishan. Now let's include one segment in our program, and that is message of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
A Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands Muslims are safe. Very comprehensive hadith in its meaning. Either you hurt someone through your tongue, or you do through your hands. In schools, colleges, universities, workplace, at home, in friend circles, in private gatherings, outside in general gatherings, when we are invited somewhere, we will find many people, neither through their tongue nor through their hands, other Muslims are safe. Yes, of course, you can find many people around you, when they'll sit, they'll start backbiting, start talking ill about others. Let me mention another important point here. In case if you're present somewhere, then one of the rights of other Muslims upon you is that you protect their honor in their absence. In case if other people are talking ill about them and you're capable to stop that person from backbiting, then you should do so. Remember, it's one of your moral duties. You should help that Muslim brother who is absent by protecting his honor. You should try and stop. Nowadays, no one bothers. Instead, people enjoy doing backbiting as well as listening to it. It seems if they don't backbite, they'll have pain in their stomach. As soon as husband enters home, backbiting of neighbors or close relatives gets started. If not anything else, then children's faults and issues. I know certain issues need discussion. Now, in case husband wants to talk to children, then he'll be stopped. Why did you talk at first place? There wasn't any need to address. No, I just told you to feel light. No, dear, you're not feeling light. Rather, you're putting more burden on yourself. Burden of sins. Sadly, this has become our practice, whether we are at home or at workplace. Such negative discussions have become part of our life. When one colleague starts discussion with other, and after a few seconds or minutes, boss becomes the subject of that topic. Yes, he just entered. He's not in a good mood. It seems that he had fight at home. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim is one from whose tongue and hand Muslims are safe. Dear viewers, mostly when we talk to people and interact, we should be considerate in terms of their sentiments and emotions, because our tongue can hurt their feelings. And most of the times, we end up hurting others more with our tongue than our hands. Dear Islamic brothers, we need to learn rights of our fellow Muslim brothers. This is very important. We need to seek this knowledge and implement. Beautiful message, respected viewers of Padrishan, from Maulana Imran Attari, Hafizahullah, Migrani Shura, Head of Central Executive Committee of Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah. And we should avoid harming others through our tongue, through our hands, by any way, form, or shape. We're talking about dua. Alhamdulillah, we've covered subtopic and the dua, and we've explained that. Now it's time to include one segment, that is personality of the day. Let's include that. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ادعوني استجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, subhanAllah, today we have included a beautiful personality, and that is Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. There have been four great a'imma of fiqh in the history of Islam, very, very famous ones I'm talking about, and one of them is Imam Malik alayh rahmah. Let's find out a little bit, very brief, subhanAllah, biography. Definitely time does not permit us to expand on this personality. Such a huge personality in this very short span of time, we can't do justice. But whatever we can learn little from, subhanAllah, Seerah of Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. Ji, Wasim Basri, what would you like to share? Which dimension of this personality?
Imam Malik radiallahu anhu.
What to talk and what to leave. How to decide.
You want to talk about him as his love for Medina, his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his scholarly brilliance, and his taqwa, his piety, from every perspective. He radiallahu
anhu, shining star.
Is a shining star, is a beacon of guidance for us, is a pillar for us. Then Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, he was born in 93 Hijri in Medina al Munawwara and passed away in 179 Hijri, again in Medina al Munawwara, which was his desire, which was his will, and because and for this he would reside in Medina al Munawwara. And Sayyidina Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, who was he? He was a tabi'i, meaning who had beheld a tabi'i and also passed away in the state of Iman.
And tabi'i is who?
Beheld a sahabi, and also passed away in the state of Iman. And Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, his great grandfather was a sahabi. And he migrated from Yemen to Madinah al-Munawwara, resided there. Abu Amir was his name radiallahu anhu. He embraced Islam, stayed there, and he was the great grandfather of Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he's that personality who has even been prophesized in a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who praised Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, talked about him, and the latter scholars, they explained that hadith, stating that this hadith refers to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, that personality who started to teach at the age of 17, and he was so learned that even his teachers would come to have their issues resolved by him.
Allah.
This was the state of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. His love for Medina, that was second to none. And that is something for us to take guidance from. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he would remain barefoot in Medina al-Munawwara. Once Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, he came to the door of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh and saw most elegant horses tied at the door of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. And when he spoke to Imam Malik alayhi rahmah, Imam Malik gave all of them as a gift to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi.
Allah.
And when he said that, at least keep one for yourself, and he says that I cannot bear to see that the hoofs of the horses trample the ground beneath which my master, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is resting. When we talk about his brilliance, Rizwan bhai, it is stated that from 900 scholars he acquired knowledge. We can imagine how much knowledge he rahmatullah alayhi would possess. Then his love for Medina, he rahmatullah alayhi would not defecate in Medina. If he had to answer the call of nature, he would go outside the haram of Medina, answer the call of nature, and then come back to Medina. These personalities, when we read their seerahs, it seems as if, you know, that these stories are just confined to books now. Where do we find such personalities nowadays? And then Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, even at the time of passing away, even at that very time, he was performing Amrun al-Ma'ruf wa Nahyun al-Munkar. Even at the time of passing, it is stated, according to one narration, that right when he was passing, what were his last words, amongst the last words, that for me to mention that one ruling of Salah is better than donating the entire wealth of this dunya in Sadaqah.
Allah.
You know, and for me, to resolve one religious ruling of someone is better than performing 100 Hajj. And this is right at the time of when he is passing away. There's so much to discuss about this great personality. When we talk about his love for Hadith, how he would recite the Hadith, when he would recite the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he would bow down, his back would get bent. And when the Prophet ﷺ would be mentioned before him, his
complexion would change. And it is stated that when someone would come to his door and his servant would come out and they would ask, have you come to ask about a Shari'i ruling or to listen to a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? It is stated if the questioner would say that I've come to ask for a Shari'i ruling, then Imam Malik alayhi rahmah would straight away come out and tell the Shari'i ruling. And if he said that I've come to listen to a hadith from Imam Malik, then Imam Malik alayhi rahmah would get up, he would perform ghusl, he would wear the best of the clothing, he would wear imama, he would wear perfume, and with such great honor he would come, and then the specific seat that he would have upon which he would sit down and mention the hadith of the Prophet was there would be fragrance emanating from everywhere. With all these arrangements, he would come and then he would mention the sayings of the Prophet. Imagine how much love and respect he had only for the sayings of the Prophet. Imagine his love for the Prophet himself. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty shower him countless mercies and blessings upon his flesh, right? And there's one way, what a great fortune he had that he was buried in Jannat al-Baqi next to Sayyidina Ibrahim, radiyallahu anhu, the beloved son of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty shower his countless mercies and blessings upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake.
Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ameen. So much to say. I've got so many points to talk about this personality. The time does not permit me. The spectacles of Manichin, if only we can take a little from the devotion of Sayyidina Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala, which he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ishqi Rasul, little share we can get also, subhanAllah, then inshallah our lives will be sorted in this world and hereafter too. Let's include final segment of our program, and that is Dua Fatiha. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Udru'uni استجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
We'll start with Munajat, prayers in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in poetic form, and then followed by the dua. Mom.
Ya Ilahi Muhammad Me apni ghumaya Ilahi Na pao main apna bataya
يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا حنان يا منان يا ستار يا غفار يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله يا كريم يا رب ذو الجلال once again we raise our hands in your court يا الله forgive us يا رب ذو الجلال forgive all our major and minor sins يا رب ذو الجلال مالكم هلا forgive us be pleased with us يا الله when we look at our Book of Deeds, Ya Malikum Mawla, it's full of sins. There is no good deed which can be presented in your blessed Park Court, Ya Allah. Malikum Mawla, but we rely upon your Rahmah, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Your mercy is immense, Malikum Mawla. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Ya Malikum Mawla. Malikum Mawla, Ya Rahman, forgive us. Forgive our parents. Forgive the whole Ummah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. مالک تجھے تو خبر ہے میں کتنا برا ہوں تو عیبوں کو میرے چھپا یا الہی یا رب ذوالجلال our reality is known by یا رب ذوالجلال you've covered our mistakes یا رب ذوالجلال مالک مولا یا اللہ عز و جل may they be covered hereafter too یا اللہ یا رب ذوالجلال forgive us without accountability those they are worried remove their worries Ya Allah, those that are ill, give them shifa. Those that are watching, raising their hands right now. Ya Allah, joining in this dua. Any hadith, any dua which is rightful. Ya Allah, lawful jaiz hadith. Malikum Ola, shower your merciful sight upon these brothers and sisters. They're raising their hands upon their duas. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, accept our lawful jaiz hajat. Malikum Ola, those that are struggling with finances, help them. Ya Allah, those that do not have jobs, Give them rizqi halal, tayyib, Ya Allah. Those that are in need of children, Ya Allah. Grant them pious children, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Malikum Ola, those that are under debt. May their debts are paid off, Malikum Ola. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. یہ کیوں کہوں کہ مجھ کو یہ عطا ہو وہ دو کہ ہمیشہ میرے گھر بھر کا بھلا ہو Why shall I say grant me this or that یا اللہ grant me whatever is good for me good for my family good for this دنیا and hereafter یا مالک مولا make this world better and good for us and hereafter also یا مالک مولا may we enter in جنت الفردوس یا رب ذوالجلال Protect us from the fire of hell, Ya Malikum Allah, from the punishment of hell, Ya Allah. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Ya Malikum Allah, bless our parents, Ya Allah, in this day, in this age, Ya Malikum Allah. Ya Malikum Allah, they showed extended mercy towards us, Ya Allah. When we were young, Ya Allah, now you shower your mercy upon them. Ya Malikum Allah, shower your rahmah upon them. يا مالك مولا يا رب ذو الجلال كرم رحم يا مالك مولا يا رب ذو الجلال give us ability and tawfiq to watch Madani channel to learn Quran to learn Ahadith and to act upon the beautiful teachings of Islam آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما صلى الله على النبي الأمي وآله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله يا الله جد من بابسي سامنے ہو روزہ اے رسول آنکھوں میں ہو جلوہ اے رسول یا اللہ when we depart from this mortal world may we behold رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and we leave this world reciting شہادہ اشہدو ان لا الہ الا اللہ و اشہدو ان محمد عبدہ و رسول آمین بجاہ النبی امین صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وبعد وسلم
That's all for today. Respective viewers of Madani channel, keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And keep making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.